All right, welcome back, folks. I want to go to a video now that I find very funny. Clip. So this is a woman responding to, I guess, Benny Johnson covered a story about liberals begging Trump to get them out of Mexico. I had the story on my desk yesterday, and I didn't bother with it because it's kind of like, well, you know, liberals do love big government. Like, they would be the ones to expect America to come save them. I didn't find it that intriguing, kind of a cheap shot. Regardless, obviously, it was a pretty crazy thing that happened. Obviously, people were stuck in Mexico and desperate to get out and not able to. But this person was very offended that it was portrayed this way. But we'll pause it and sort of dissect her statement here. Let's watch.
Reporting live from the streets of Mexico right now, where this dude that has 3.2 million followers posts this video that's completely made up, saying that me and two other girls are liberals that are also Americans, which I'm not a liberal or American.
Let's pause right there. Let's pause right there. Not a liberal, not an American. It's a funny Mexican accent you have there, lady. So let's just be perfectly clear. She's obviously an American. Like, that's just such an absurd thing. She's like, I'm not American, actually. It's like, you are clearly from the Midwest, lady, or California or something. Like, what are you talking about? You are American, okay? So let's just say, first of all. And she's clearly a liberal, although I have an idea that she's probably just like a socialist. She's one of these people that's like, I'm not a liberal. We hate liberals. And it's just like, okay, so you're just, and you're a literal communist then. Great. Back to the communist American in Mexico.
And we can't get home and all this stuff.
The straight. So there's a bunch of libs that are trapped in Mexico right now, and they're terrified because of cartel violence that's spiraling out of control. It's very dangerous. And they're demanding the U.S. government and the Trump administration save them and deliver them back into America.
This complete made-up story. The streets are open. Transportation's open. It's completely safe here. The cartel war that happened on Sunday was a 24-hour thing. Everything was cleaned up. Today is Tuesday. The airports are back open. Everyone's out. Businesses are back open. What you see in the media is not true at all. And it just goes to show you that you cannot trust the media. I live here also and moved here for the winter. Tourists were injured. No civilians were injured. This was an act of retaliation between the cartel and the government because one of the cartel leaders were killed. So the cartel went and burnt a bunch of vehicles. They actually pulled people out of the vehicles before burning them. And also lit some stores on fire.
You're telling me you're not a liberal? You're telling me you're not a liberal? Yeah, she's like, crazy stuff happens like this all over the world. It doesn't matter. It's like every day all over the world there are giant militarized militias, criminal gangs setting fire to the entire city and attacking civilians because their serial killer drug lord leader got killed. This is normal. This is normal and safe. And it's all a lie. And it's like, what? We saw the videos. We talked to people who were there that couldn't get out. What are you talking about? She's like, I live here for the winter. I'm wintering in Mexico. I summer in Switzerland. So I'm not an American, okay? And I'm a liberal. I'm not a liberal, but I am going to make excuses for the terror gang burning cars because they dragged people out, all right? And, like, that's the scariest thing to me is, like, you know these people. I mean, they really are the worst people in the world. And she really is sitting there justifying cartel members, death squads, burning cars because they were polite enough to pull the victims out first. Oh, great. Oh, well, they didn't burn people alive, so I guess they're good. By the way, 73 people were killed during this, apparently. She's like, it's fine. It didn't affect me in the resort, so it doesn't matter. It's all normal and good and liberal, okay? You're just a bigot, racist Trump supporter if you think that the country shouldn't go up in flames every once in a while when the criminal gangs don't get their way and start burning private property in response. It's normal and loving and good, okay? Idiot.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy. It locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Dismantling the globalists' agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to offer an olive branch to our liberal listeners. I know I keep calling you stupid. I know I think your brains are dysfunctional and you are beset by a madness of others' makings. It's kind of a tragedy. But I want to extend an olive branch. Have you tried methylene blue? Have you tried methylene red? Have you tried perhaps a supplement designed to increase brain function? I'm genuinely suggesting you try something like this out. You might be surprised. You might be surprised at what you learn. I'm just saying, now is the time. If you're a liberal or have a liberal in your family, perhaps offer them ultramethylene blue and ultramethylene red. Get them both at massive discount at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm not saying it's a cure-all. I'm not saying it's a panacea. There's been no scientific study on whether or not the increased brain function and, you know, electrical signals in the brain as a consequence of methylene blue will lead to liberals learning things and understanding things. That's a tall order. But if anything can do it, ultramethylene blue can. If anything is strong enough to rescue the liberals from the quagmire of their own stupidity, it's these products at thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today. You don't have to be a supporter of us, but you will be. If you take these, you will be a supporter of us one way or another, either because you love the products or because the products make you smarter and you become enlightened like we are. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Supplies will not last. Ultramethylene Blue skyrockets cellular energy, sharpens memory and mental clarity like nothing else. And Ultramethylene Red was designed specifically to pair with Ultramethylene Blue. It's got tons of active B vitamins, CoQ10, as well as a number of other very powerful molecular combinations that bypass genetic blocks, regenerate nerves, crush inflammation, boost your mood, focus, and energy to insane levels. It's ultramethylene blue and ultramethylene red. Get them now together for a massive discount or independently for massive discount as well. So ultramethylene blue is 25% off. Ultramethylene red is 50% off. Together, you can get 40 to 50% off, especially if you subscribe for even more discounts. Member of the Alex Jones VIP Club, even more discounts. So really, there's no excuse to be a liberal these days. We have all the information you need and all of the brain power required to parse it. So no excuses. No excuses for believing the lies. I got a lot of news to get to. I got a lot of things to get into. Let's start with this story, because it goes into what we've been saying this whole time. You know, there are these theories about the Epstein files, why they were released now, whether they were released, you know, on purpose to basically expose this network without actually doing anything about it. You can tell by the way the people respond what's actually happening here. And if the Epstein release was in any way playing into the hands of the bad guys, the response, the way they handled it, would have been so different. Bill Gates is maybe the best example of this, because he's scrambling and he's trying to do damage control and he's trying to cling on to what little is left of his reputation carefully cultivated over decades that has now been shattered by this. And he's having trouble doing it. In fact, he's doing it in such a bad way and he's doing such a bad job with it that it'd be better if he just never said anything or just came right out and admitted it. And you'll see what I mean. From New York Post, Bill Gates admits he had two affairs with Russian women and he apologizes for his Epstein links. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates has admitted he had two affairs with Russian women while married to his now ex-wife, Melinda French Gates, and issued a groveling apology for his links with convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Gates, who's now 70 years old, told staffers at his foundation on Tuesday that he flew on a private plane with the disgraced financier and spent time with him in the U.S. and abroad, but didn't participate in any crime, according to the Wall Street Journal. That was at his foundation. I wonder if it was at his headquarters, and I wonder if Tim Lasley was there bullhorning him. I hope he was. I do hope he was. He says, I did nothing illicit. I saw nothing illicit. To be clear, I never spent time with any of the victims or the women around him. Which is just a little bit weird. It's just a little bit odd because it feels like, call me crazy, it feels like a week ago we had a video of Bill Gates denying all of this. Did we not have that? Did we not see that? Do we not have it right now here in my list on number two? Let's go to number two. Here's Bill Gates 1 week ago lying right to your face. Let's watch.
Pull the audio. Email to himself. That email was never sent. The email is, false. So I don't know what his thinking was there. It just reminds me, every minute I spent with him, I regret and I, apologize that I did that. It's factually true that I was only at dinners. I never went to the island. I never met any women. And so, the more that comes out, the more clear it'll be that although the time was a mistake, it had nothing to do with that kind of behavior.
Yeah, I never went to the island. I never met any women, okay? So I did meet women. Okay, I did meet the two women, but the email was a lie. The email was totally wrong about the Russian women and the STD. The women were Russian. They were Russian. I did fly on his plane. I did meet women, but I didn't see anything illicit. Okay, well, get back to us next week, Bill. See if your containment strategy requires you to admit to, okay, well, I did see some illicit things, but it was in international waters, so I couldn't do anything about it. Like, you really need to plan this out a little bit better. It doesn't look good when your statement about Epstein is diametrically opposed to the one you made last week. That doesn't look good, Bill. It's over, man. It's like, we get it. You're creepy old criminal that wants to kill everybody with vaccines. We had your number years ago, and you've done a really admirable job of fending off reality, right? First, you wear the pink sweaters. Very good move. Very convincing. For some reason, that worked on a lot of people. They saw you in pink sweaters and thought, this little twink, this little nerd, he can't be an evil guy. Look at him. It's only micro when it's soft. See, look, you did a great job convincing everybody that you aren't a genocidal maniac for a while, but that's over now. That's over. I'd like to see him embrace it. I'd like to see him sort of go the Klaus Schwab route, but even more so, he could develop a sinister accent, but I kind of like his gay nerd voice now, but he should wear like a metal mask. Should be like a metal mask and robes and like chains, and just, you're an evil scumbag. You're an evil, diabolical wizard. You should dress like it. You should act like it. Just embrace it. Go all in. Forget the pink sweaters. It worked for a while. It's not working anymore. Go all in. Go all in, Bill Gates. Embrace your true destiny and go fully over to the dark side. Or just shut the hell up and go away forever because the illusion's not working anymore. So those are your options. Choose whichever one you want. And did he admit? I thought maybe he admitted he flew on the private plane. He did admit he spent time in the U.S. and abroad. He doesn't actually admit to, going to the island, I guess. He will. I bet he will. Hilarious. So, yeah, the Epstein files, again, I mean, there should be a hell of a lot more reaction to it. But you can tell that they're scrambling. You can you don't make a statement like that and then 1 week later have to reverse it if you're not trying to just cover your ass and not good at doing it. The thing to do from the beginning was to come out and say, you know, he should have said maybe the email was, maybe he never received the email, but I know what he's talking about. And yeah, I did meet women. Like, at least then it'd be like, well, he did tell us the truth about that, but you only told us the truth now after lying to us a week ago. So why would anybody trust you about anything ever? We shouldn't. Nobody should trust this guy about anything ever. Okay. They're involved in a lot more ways than just sexual impropriety. And I want to go to a video, clip 15. This just sort of goes into what we've been talking about the rest of the day, and that is the delusional view of the world that the left has, that the Democrats have, that people on the left side of the aisle, they just have no idea about anything, and it is sad, and I wish this wasn't the case, and I do think that nationalism is the answer, and if we could all just come together as Americans and deal with the problems that beset all of us, then we wouldn't have to have this division that keeps us constantly at each other's throats. But until these people either learn what the hell's going on and start taking it into account, or just have the humility to be like, I don't know, crap about politics. Why are you asking me? I'm an idiot. Like, you should all recognize that you're idiots, and then we'd be fine. But it's this sinister, this poisonous combination of ignorance, stupidity, naivety, delusion, paired with the narcissism, paired with the self-importance and the condescension. This combination is killing our country, and we have to do something about it. Let's go to clip 15.
Why would you say you support ICE?
Yeah, because they would get rid of these rapists and murderers that killed American women.
So are all of the immigrants that come into America rapists and killists?
Nope.
Oh, okay, so...
So let's get rid of these ones? Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you support ICE removing them?
No. I support the condemnation, as you said, of a rapist. You know, there are white rapists, there are black rapists,
there are white immigrant race rapists as well.
Okay, but again, there are race rapists of different colors.
Why does the color matter when it comes to rape?
You just made it about you just made it.
No,
about
you did.
Color. No, you did. You said ICE.
You brought up white rapists.
Okay, because you said that immigrants rape. Right? So white
not,
people
I didn't say immigrants rape. I said these immigrants
okay,
raped.
So those immigrants raped. What about white people that raped?
What about them?
Are there no condemnations for them?
Absolutely. We're condemning rape as a whole. But if these people wouldn't have been able to enter under Biden's open border policies, these women would still be alive today.
Right. So what about the people who are coming to America for a better life because they were experienced similar situations where they came from?
Yeah, they can come here for a better life. I'm all for legal immigration.
Legal immigration. Okay, so what about... Okay, so our president here, his name is Trump. That's a pretty racist man.
How?
How?
Give me an example of his racism.
Watch the news.
Give me one example. Just give me one example.
Just watch the news, sweetheart. There are plenty of examples.
Just watch the news, sweetheart. Give me one example that he's racist.
Okay, Trump has flat out... flat with the racism.
How?
Comments, concerns.
What comments? Sure. Name one comment that he said that was racist.
Okay.
Because if he's racist, I want to know because I don't want to support a racist.
So you support Trump?
I do, yeah. Can you tell me why he's racist?
She supports Trump.
So we've been sitting here for nearly a minute now, and she has still yet to tell me one thing that Trump has said that's racist.
Okay, so if we're going to be quite honest, I couldn't give you a specific...
I know, you can't.
Oh, no, I'm not done speaking. I couldn't give you a specific because I don't pay attention to idiocy.
And oh, okay.
That's idiocy.
So if you're going to call someone racist, I think you should be able to prove it.
Watch the news.
Pull up a clip where he's racist. Go ahead.
Great. I'm so glad you asked.
It must not have been racist enough to remember because you have to look it up. How do you guys feel about ICE?
Oh, all of these people are...
Thumbs up for ICE, thumbs down.
People that are against ICE.
You see, I'm asking people. What's wrong with asking people their opinion?
I didn't say...
Did you find the racist clip yet?
Wrong with that. I just said that there were people, majority of them here, are against ICE.
How do you know that?
Because I know them.
Okay.
Well, and they're all as stupid as me, probably.
You support ICE? Which one? You? You support ICE? Oh, okay. I didn't think so.
What does ICE stand for?
Babe.
So you don't support something that you don't even know what it stands for?
Oh, I didn't respond for a reason.
Can you tell me what it stands for?
No, we're gonna go back to the Trump racism.
Right, okay.
I don't know what to tell you about these people. They just, I mean, the Trump racist thing, this is just, it's like, how many, deport them all. How many years do we have to go over this? It is, just doesn't, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter, folks. It doesn't matter to them. They don't care. They don't care. But really, it was the beginning of that conversation that struck me the hardest, where it's like something happens, man. It's like you say words, and somehow in between the words leaving your lip and getting to their ear, some sort of demonic force scrambles them up. And so what they hear is just entirely different than what you said. And it just happens every time. And it drives me crazy on X, because on X, the words are there for you to look at. You don't even have to try to keep up with it in real time. You can read it over and over until you understand it. And people still just, it's like, what am I saying? Like, what is happening? When you say something, I say something, she says something very simple and obvious. And then just, yeah, the cymbal banging monkey confuses them. Where it's just like, we want to get rid of immigrant rapists. And they're just like, wow, so all immigrants are rapists? It's just like, how do you have a conversation that way? How do you have a conversation about anything with anybody when that is the exchange? And the girl is very polite and calm and patient and saying, no, I didn't say all immigrants are rapists. I'm saying these immigrants are rapists and shouldn't be in the country. It's like, well, what about white men who are rapists? And it's like, genuinely, what are we supposed to do with these people? They don't care. They believe things with absolutely no evidence. And they're convinced evidence is out there. That's the craziest part. You could find somebody who is intelligent, who could make an argument. I could make the argument for it. This is the curse of being smart, unlike these people. Is I could answer better. I could say, look, he's very careful about how he expresses himself, but clearly underlying, you know, a lot of his statements is a perceived bias, is a, you know, racist intention. I think, you know, all of these things he did, like, I could answer better, and I don't even believe it's true. These people, they think they've seen videos of Trump being racist. They do. She thinks she's going to find one. Did she imagine it? Did she hallucinate it? Did she have false memories planted in her brain by space lasers? Like, what is the explanation that there are millions of people walking around this country who are convinced that they have seen things that don't exist? They're convinced that they've seen dozens of examples of something that there's not a single example for. What do you do? What are we supposed to do with these people? This isn't a matter of politics. This is a matter of reality versus delusion. It's not even necessarily good versus evil. It's like willful ignorance versus information. Donald Trump's long history of racism from 1970s to 2020. Trump has repeatedly claimed he's the least racist person. History suggests otherwise.
In the 70s, his dad didn't rent things to black people. I mean, he did, but there was a lawsuit, I think. I can't remember.
So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what we do with these people. I don't know how, like, you can't convince them. Now, the good news is, the good part about that is that fundamentally they genuinely don't think for themselves. So if instead the mainstream media and algorithms push something that was right wing rather than left wing, she would believe that just as intensely. They don't think for themselves. And it's not an insult. It's just like, if you thought for yourself, you would have to, you'd have to acknowledge that you have no evidence that Trump is racist. So again, it's just, it's this poisonous combination that we constantly deal with. Let's go to clip 10 here. This is from today. This is a hearing in Congress, and Senator Mullins got Senator Bernie Sanders got uppity with Senator Mullins. Senator Mullins let him have it. And I liked seeing this quite a bit. Let's watch.
How dare us look at science? Oh, my goodness. Science is supposed to be perfect. I thought science was always supposed to be studied. I'm for looking into it. As a father of six kids, yeah, I want to look into it. I want to know what's causing it. And I will turn over every stone. And so Dr. Means, thank you for saying I want to turn over every stone. Good on you. I'm not a doctor. I'm not sitting here trying to say we shouldn't do something. I'm saying let's go after it. Let's look at it. Let's question what we're doing. Let's look at the healthcare system. We can agree on that one. I just don't want to socialize it. But we can agree that it is absolutely not affordable. 100% not affordable. Yet it was supposed to be affordable. That's what we sold by Obamacare. So how about we work together and say, hey, so scrap ACA, admit it doesn't work, admit you guys made a mistake, and let's work at something with President Trump to make affordable health care healthy and affordable for everybody. But there's zero chance you guys could do that. Zero chance. Yet everybody we bring up here, you guys chastise for trying to make changes. God forbid we change and go after and try to fix our broken system. Anyways, I ranted too long. Let's talk about some...
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry, I didn't ask your opinion on that. And if I cared about your opinion, I would ask you. But I don't care about your opinion. Well, you're part of the system. You're part of the problem. You've been sitting here longer than I've even been alive. This is your problem. You should have fixed this a long time ago. You've been rel on it so long. What have you
I've
been doing?
I've decided not to run for Surgeon General. You're the nominee. I've decided
that is
not to accept that nominee.
That is definitely something we would never accept. Ma'am.
So, like, mic drop moment there. Old Bernie Sanders being told off completely. What a great line. How dare you? You've been here since before I was born. What have you been doing? I had to go to kindergarten and elementary school, high school. I had to go to college and get elected. I mean, what were you doing that whole time? Where were you that entire time? Sitting on your fat ass, somehow making millions of dollars as a socialist, you absolute fraud. But what was that little outburst from Grandpa about? What was that rude interjection? Totally unwarranted and unnecessary. What was that in response to? It was literally in response to Senator Mullins offering an olive branch. Saying, look, I agree with you. Healthcare is crummy. I don't want to socialize it, but let's work together. This is something we can come together on. This is something that all Americans want. Let's fix the healthcare system. Bernie Sanders is just like, oh, keep rambling. Just like, okay, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do, you guys? What are we supposed to do? I don't get it. It's like just half of our country is just evil morons. Like, what the hell? You try to tell them the truth, they just get angry and scream at you and continue to lie. You try to work with them, they just act like petulant little bitches. You give them what they want, everything gets significantly worse in every possible way. I think the only thing to do is to like disenfranchise these people. Not have a democracy anymore, actually, is the real answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in. In people who can't make it, it can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. We're going to be joined by Andrew Branca in the next segment. I got a lot to cover still in this segment. And I don't mean to, you know, sort of hit all these stories with the same theme over and over of the delusional insanity of the left, but I feel like, even though I know it's not going to break through to most of these people, there's still some amount of people that are like, well, you know, the left may not be perfect, but at least, you know, they say the right things. At least they're like welcoming and like happy or whatever. And like, I just really want to emphasize, like, we got to get through to these people. That's just like, there's no redeeming quality. There's nothing that you can go like, well, you know, they might be wrong on this stuff, but they got this right. Nothing. They're not right about anything. They don't even try. Their entire stance now, their entire policy proposal, everything they believe is just focused on destroying America, and they're not even shy about it. You live in America. You're an American. Like, why would you be in favor of people who hate you? They're doing everything they can to destroy you. And even if their ideas sound good in practice, they never, ever, ever, ever work. So I really just hope, against hope, that there's somebody that this could get through to, but I don't really think there is. Let's go to clip number 11 here. This is that conversation with your left-wing friend if they were actually honest with you. Let's watch.
You left-wing. Because my entire ego is constructed on the foundations of a moral superiority complex, which itself is pegged to a pathological hyperreality, that when challenged or questioned makes me extremely angry and aggressive because it feels like my entire identity is under existential threat. And I developed this mental model as an adolescent in order to make sense of the unfairness of nature. But due to lacking the introspective courage to challenge my own beliefs, it's easier to just pretend to not to understand things than face the terror of realizing that I might have been misled my entire life and could even be rejected by the tribe. So it's kind of like a defense mechanism. I have to pretend to find that term problematic. Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. And there is this thing going, this idea going around now that is very insightful. That is basically the left-wing morality is just like kindergarten morality. And they really think like that's the end of morality, where it's just like, don't hit and share your things. Like, okay, that's fine for a baby. But like, this is the real world. You got to make real decisions. There are real consequences to your actions. Should we share and not hit each other? Yeah, I guess. Again, if you're a baby, but like you, it goes beyond that. There's more to it than that, especially when you're dealing with populations that see your, you know, naive, childlike view of the world as just victimhood, as just it's time to go after these people. These people are so stupid that we can rob them blind and they'll think that we're helping them. And they just see you as complete idiots to take advantage of. And you are. You are. It's very unfortunate. Unfortunate. Unfortunate is one way to put it. This is another tactic they're taking. This one's amazing. This is like the next level of redefining words. We know this is a very, very popular strategy of the left, where you call something racist, and if it's not racist, then you just redefine the word and go, see, racist, just like I told you. Or you redefine the meaning of vaccine or anything else. This is kind of different. This is an attempt to redefine success. Even as I say it, it's so funny. They fail so much and so hard and with such consistency, they are genuinely looking around to try to find different metrics by which it will appear as though they are not the failures that they are. In this case, particularly with Canada, because there was a very popular story this week revealing that Canada now has a lower GDP than the state of Alabama. And it's not going well for them. And it's both their absolute GDP as well as the GDP per person, per capita. So they're not doing great on the old GDP front. And so what do Democrats, liberals, and globalists do when the metrics by which we judge things, judge them incompetent, judge them failures? What do they do when certain races don't score as high as well on tests? They get rid of the test. They remake the curriculum to fit whatever perceived vision of success that they want to shove down everybody's throat. So let's go to clip 12 here, where Canadians are desperately trying to find another metric to judge their country on so that it can look in some way, by some perspective, like they aren't just spiraling into just abject collapse on every front. And here's the funniest part. They can't even do it. They can't even do it. So they're like, GDP, that's the old way of judging things. We have these new metrics. They fail on all of those too. Let's watch.
And if GDP per capita is the one we're going to use, sure. But the point of it is to have a broader conversation. You looked at a whole bunch of figures. You were tweeting about this over the weekend. Not just GDP per capita, measuring Are we better off than we were 20 years ago? And the interesting thing that jumped out to me was the only one that seemed to have improved over the last number of years was, in fact, GDP per capita. Everything else is in pretty precipitous decline.
Yeah, there's this kind of ongoing debate, and I think both sides are somewhat wrong. You know, you've got one side who's very reliant on GDP per capita as their measure of well-being, and GDP per capita is correlated with well-being, but it's not well-being. There are other things to consider. And then you've got another side of the debate who's saying, well, we're actually doing much better than GDP per capita would indicate. I've kind of taken the other approach and saying, well, actually not so fast. So GDP per capita, we're doing pretty well in, but other indicators such as wealth and income inequality, deaths of despair, and so on, we tend to actually be below the average of kind of Western economies. So, you know, I looked at the UN Human Development Index, which takes into account a variety of different factors. Back in the 1990s, we were consistently in the top three. We're now down to 16th place in the latest report. There's a World Happiness Report, also a UN initiative. Just a decade ago, we were the sixth best country in the world, according to that. Now we're 18th. And it's not to suggest that, you know, things aren't getting better in some areas, that they are, but rather that other countries are getting better faster. And there are areas like inequality where Canada's performance has deteriorated over the last decade or
Interesting. And would you say, sir, in the last decade, that Canada has become more or less socialist, more or less liberal, more or less white, for that matter? Isn't that interesting? It's not looking good. It's not looking good for Canada. He's like, yeah, look, everything's getting worse, but that's not to say it's not getting better. Like, no, that's, yeah, that is what it's saying, actually. It's, no, that's what those numbers mean. They're like, well, you know, you want to judge things on GDP per capita. There's different ways to judge things. Okay, well, how'd that go? Worse. It was worse in every way. If we judge it by happiness, well, that went down. Inequality, that went down. Yeah. GDP is the thing we've done best at, actually, and we're doing so badly at that. That we're trying to come up with different ways of measuring things. So maybe, just maybe, now's the time to admit that the trajectory you're headed in is not a good one and that you should change the way you do things. Just an idea. You're the one sitting there acknowledging that everything's gotten worse and significantly worse over the last 10 years. Do you want to take that into account in plotting the future, or just that's just the way things are? Just the way things are going. Nothing you can do about it. Not like you can alter that trajectory. It's just it's up to Canadians to get used to the fact that you're all poor and time to kill yourself. Basically, the one thing they've succeeded in is providing Canadians a way to have the state kill them. That's they really are good at that. Everything else sucks. GDP per capita. And like, I don't really care that much about GDP, but GDP per capita is one way of judging success or failure for that matter. So, I mean, like, again, he's sitting there saying we got worse on GDP. So bad that we tried to come up with other metrics. And in every one of those metrics, happiness and well, everything, we're doing worse. And then he tries to justify it. And he goes, but that doesn't mean things aren't getting better. It just means other countries are getting better faster than us. And it's like, why are you trying to justify your mistake? Why don't you admit it's a mistake? Why don't you say we're going in the wrong direction? The trajectory of Canada has been to increase so-called liberalism, has been to adopt every progressive policy ever put forward. And every step of the way, it's made life worse in every possible way for Canadian citizens. Why can't they do that, guys? I don't get it. I'll just point it out. I'll just keep pointing it out, I guess. Got some pretty esoteric information to get into here, and I'll do that before the end of the segment, but there's a lot of crazy news as well. Biden appointed judge blocks deportations of illegal aliens to willing third party country. So a Biden-appointed judge has ruled that the Trump administration's policy of removing illegal immigrants from the country and deporting them to third countries or countries that other than those designated on illegal immigrants' order of removal is unlawful. District Court Judge Brian Murphy in Massachusetts wrote the Department of Homeland Security has adopted a policy whereby it may take people and drop them off in parts unknown, which, quote, is not fine nor is illegal. He wrote that that would vacate the March guidance on, and not in accordance with law. So we can't keep them here under indefinite detention. We can't deport them to states that don't want to take them. We can't deport them to third-party states. Gee, it almost seems like the only thing to do is let them all stay here. I wonder if that's the obvious plan. Because the only reason that we deport people to third countries is because the countries aren't cooperating with us and won't accept back deportations. It's not even our fault. Like, we're trying to take them to wherever they come from, and those countries are denying us. And so we either have to keep them here, we don't have enough space for them here, or we have to take them to a different country. Because they're not our citizens and they're not our responsibility and their own countries don't want them. What are we supposed to do with them? I again say put them to work. Put them to work on a farm. Put them to work on chain gangs busting rocks. That's the answer. That's the solution. But so again, can't just get the local government to cooperate and hand them over. So we got to go out and try to capture them. That becomes, you know, an impossibility and just endlessly chaotic. You can't keep them in America because we don't have the space and we can't, you know, build out camps fast enough to store these people. Their home countries won't accept them officially. We can't deport them to a third country. I think that's enough. I think that's enough. It's been over a year that Trump has worked within the system, and it's not getting any better, and the deportations aren't happening. And, you know, it might not even be like it's we're certainly not going to have to wait until the end of Trump's administration. The Democrats are probably going to sweep the midterms, and they'll probably start on legislation to, you know, give citizenship to all of these illegals even before Trump is out of office. And hell, we might not even have to wait until the midterms because so many Republicans have retired or dropped out that we're going to lose our majority in the House with one more dropout. And a Republican representative, Tony Gonzalez, just got caught sexually harassing a intern of his or an employee of his who later lit herself on fire. Like, so a lot of people are calling for his retirement, and the Republicans are like, but if he retires, we're going to lose power in the House. People are like, oh, okay, so it's more important that you have power in the House than, you know, the acceptance of a very bad guy. It's just not looking good for Republicans, and the Democrats are on the march and are not shy about their intentions. They're just misleading about them. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer calls for mass amnesty for 11 million illegal immigrants. That's not really what he said. That's not really what he said. What he said is he wants citizenship for all illegal immigrants. He's just going off the 11 million number because he's a liar. Because he's a ridiculous liar. The number 11 million at the latest is from 2007. I'm pretty sure they've been running the 11 million number since the early 90s. As if in the last 35 years, we haven't received any more illegal aliens. The number just capped at 11 million and it hasn't changed since then. I think 11 million people came over in the last 3 years, probably more. This is one of the things they do. It is truly bizarre. The entire time I've covered politics, they've always said there are 11 million illegal immigrants in this country. So it's a magical number, I guess. You have 11 million, you bring in 4 million, you have 11 million still. Isn't that crazy how that works? There are at least 30 million illegal immigrants in this country. At least, at probably a hell of a lot more than that. And he wants to give them all citizenship by the back door. and they'll open the border. So when Trump says we won't have a country anymore, this is what he's talking about. And it's not in a theoretical or ambivalent way. We will not have a country anymore. If you give citizenship to the tens of millions of criminals that came across our border in the last 10 years, and then open the border to an infinite number more. And you know, like, if we can't do deportations now, how do you think we'd ever do them if those people are given citizenship? Now you're talking about, instead of just deporting people that don't have papers, aren't here legally, that we are tracking, and like, we can't even get that done. But you think we're what? We're gonna, yeah, oh, illegal immigration hit record of 14 million in 2023. Oh, do they mean that 14 million crossed in 2023? That might be more accurate. What a ridiculous fraud. Hilarious that they run with these numbers. But you're saying they run with these numbers to downplay the problem, downplay the effect that it's having, and to act like this is no big deal to give them all citizenship. When in reality, he's not saying I want 11 million new citizens. He's saying I want them all to be new citizens. And he uses the 11 million number because apparently you're just allowed to pick a number 2 decades ago, and that just is the number forever, regardless of reality. So crazy. How do they get away with that? Okay, all right. And nobody questions it. Nobody points out, like, this is ridiculous. Yeah, there were 11 million encounters in 4 years. And they all got let in. My God. It's just one of the... Like, I don't mean to get distracted by these little little things, but is it that little of a thing? Why do we live in this fake world? Why are people, do people just say things that aren't true and nobody questions it and nobody points it out? Especially when these things are the predicate for legislation that will change the composition of our nation forever. And everybody's just like, yeah, 11 million, that's the official number. Okay. In the 90s, it was. Let's count again. Jesus. Senator Minority Leader said to the immigration deal he wants to give, it would guarantee citizenship for 11 million illegal immigrants currently living in the United States. Schumer gave the remarks during an appearance of Morning Joe on MS Now, where he was asked what kind of immigration agreement he hopes to advance in the Senate. He pointed to a 2013 bipartisan framework that had the support of then-Senator John McCain as a model. Schumer said he would back a similar bill that toughens up the border while also provides a path to citizenship for 11 million people who are here. I think the 50 million people who are here should be the, like, out of anybody, it's this 50 million people who should never be citizens, ever. That has to be part of the deportation process. Is like, if we have to catch you and deport you, you're never going to become citizens. And if you're here illegally, you're never going to become a citizen. The only way you will ever become citizens is to leave this country and try again the right way. And it is absurd that we're entertaining any other suggestion. And this is a, like, death of the country, red alert, most extreme threat if this type of thing gets through. Which is why we have to win the midterms, which is why it's so frustrating Trump is failing in so many very real regards. Republicans stare down epic voter enthusiasm gap ahead of 2026 midterms. Voters are split over which party they prefer in the November midterm elections, but Democrats hold a wide margin in voter enthusiasm over Republicans that could help them reclaim at least some power, according to a Washington Post poll. The poll reflects Republicans' slippery grasp on power in Washington as they struggle to motivate their core supporters to show up for them in a year when President Trump will not be on the ballot and when many voters are reporting dissatisfaction with the economy. More Democrats and Republicans said they are certain to vote this fall, 79% to 65% among registered voters. That 14-point advantage is the largest Democrats have reported on this question ahead of a midterm election since at least 2006. In 2018, when Democrats won back the House in a wave election during Trump's first term, post-ABC polls showed they held a 5-point edge in January on certainty to vote. So they now, according to the polls, enjoy a lead over Republicans that is 3 times higher when it comes to midterm turnout, which is the game during midterms. It's not really about just, you know, who has a better argument. It's all about turnout. Whoever gets the most people to come out will win. And already, as of yesterday, Democrats win three big elections during Trump's State of the Union. While Trump ranted about tariffs, immigration, and hockey at his State of the Union address Tuesday night, Democrats were celebrating three local election victories in crucial swing states. Allegheny County, Lehigh County, were both elected Democrats as their state representatives on Tuesday in Pennsylvania, securing a Democrat majority in the state legislature, a huge win for Governor Josh Shapiro. And in Maine, Scott Harriman defeated Republican Janet Bedouin and farther cemented Democrats' hold on the state house. So we just keep losing races on a pretty regular basis because Republicans are being shown in no uncertain terms and in very powerful ways that our votes don't matter, and that even if we get the right people elected, they all just betray us or fail or refuse to stand up to the Democrats. They're all just absolute feckless pansies that aren't worth the effort of going to vote for. So they could pass something. Hey, try passing something. Maybe that'll help. Try putting literally anything, codifying it into law. Stop covering up for Epstein. Stop trying to go to war with Iran. Do I need to tell you this? It's so crazy that in the political world, like, some of the highest paid people are like advisors and, you know, people who instruct the politician on like what message to, and it's like, I'll do it for free, y'all. You don't have to pay me anything. Stop being retard. Damn it. I said I wouldn't say it, but then I started talking about the Republicans and it just came right out. So yeah, you got to stop being retarded. I mean, literally, that's it. Literally, just do what we sent you to Washington to do. Do what you promised to do. Do what you know that we want you to do. Because every time you give speeches, every time you are asked the question, you have the right answer. You know what it is that we want. So what is the issue exactly? So who knows? AI can't stop recommending nuclear strikes in war game simulations. Yeah. Which, look, maybe they're right. People are acting like this is some sort of flaw here. Maybe they're onto something. Advanced AI models appear willing to deploy nuclear weapons without the same reservations humans have when put into a simulated geopolitical crisis. The AIs were given an escalation ladder, allowing them to choose actions ranging from diplomatic protest and complete surrender to full strategic nuclear war. The AI models played 21 games, taking 329 turns in total, and produced almost 780,000 words describing the reasoning behind their decisions. In 95% of the simulated games, at least one tactical nuclear weapon was deployed by the AI models. The nuclear taboo doesn't seem to be as powerful for machines as for humans, says Payne. Of course, no model ever chose to fully accommodate an opponent or surrender, regardless of how badly they were losing. At best, the models opted for to temporarily reduce their level of violence. They also made mistakes in the fog of war. Accidents happened in 86% of the conflicts, with an action escalating higher than the AI intended it to, based on its reasoning. So, I mean, I say we give it a chance. I say we give it one opportunity.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at TimFullerShow.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed. Two I designed. Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, same Crusader King. And then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones. And it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's a huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, plus $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.